Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Messenger, Watchman, Declare and Contend. Welcome. I'm going to be sharing with you today from the book of the prophet, priest, Ezekiel, from the passage of Scripture which is listed as being chapter 14. So beginning with this passage, the 14th chapter, as it is listed in the book of Ezekiel. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me, and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of it at all by them? Therefore speak unto them, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, Repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself, and I will set my face against that man, and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived, when he hath spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. And I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. And they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him. That the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, saith the Lord God. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beasts. Though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Or if I bring a sword upon that land and say, Sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Or if I send a pestilence into that land and pour out my fury upon it in blood to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword, and the famine, and the noisome beast, and the pestilence, to cut off from it man and beast. Yet, behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doings, and ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. And they shall comfort you when ye see their ways and their doings, and ye shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God. So now returning to the beginning of this passage of Scripture in the book of the priest prophet Ezekiel, which is listed as being chapter 14. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. A group of elders of Israel. A specific grouping, if you will. And they sat before the priest, the prophet Ezekiel, to hear from the Lord. Because after all, they were such godly, God-fearing men, elders of Israel. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? These weren't just older men. These were leaders in Israel. And God says to his prophet, the priest Ezekiel, should I be inquired of at all by these sinful, wicked men, leaders in Israel? Therefore, speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet to hear from God. Every one of these men who is opposed to God, who is at odds with God, who is in rebellion against God, who then makes a show of religiosity and comes before the prophet to hear from God. And in this case, the true prophet, not one of the false prophets, interestingly enough. They come to a true prophet of God, a righteous, godly priest, prophet of God. Curiously enough, rather than one of the false prophets that the land is full of. And the Lord God says, every man who does this, every man of the house of Israel, and these were leaders, that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. Curiously enough, God says he will answer him. He will answer these men. Not that he will refuse to hear them. Not that he will refuse to answer them, which is very standard operating procedure, where God shuts out the prayers of we people because of our sins. But here, very curiously, God says he will answer them. But the answers that he will give them will terrify them. I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. He will trip them up. He will overthrow them, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. How many times have you heard a newscast or read an account and it's saying such and such about this man and this woman, and the man and woman were married, and they are estranged, or they were estranged at the time that such and such took place. They were estranged. They were separate. They were separated. They were going through a divorce or trial separation or whatever. But estranged. Separated. Separate. Because they are all estranged from me through their idols. And deliberately so. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, unto the leaders of the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols. And turn away your faces from all your abominations. Oh, these God-fearing leaders among the house of Israel. Or if you prefer, God-fearing leaders in Christendom. Oh, brother, no, this only applies to Jews. Really? Do you really imagine that? This word was given and was written not just for these people, but for we people. Thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, which is estranged from me, which separates himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me. I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Now, in some Christian circles, there's much to do about, oh, you're asking amiss, and oh, you're in sin, and you have idols and stumbling blocks in your heart. But what separates this? What distinguishes this? What sets this off? Something that is completely left out of the context of that is that these whom the prophet priest Ezekiel is prophesying to, that the Lord is speaking through Ezekiel, they have separated themselves from God. They are estranged from God, separated from God. Now, that is not a simple matter of physical separation. No, it's not pertaining to that. These can be in attendance in church at every meeting that's held. They can be deacons. They can be elders. Above deacons. They can be pastors, evangelists, televangelists, doctors of the law, theologians, leaders of denominations, and what have you. But they have separated themselves from God in their minds and their hearts. And the Lord God Almighty says they have set up idols in their hearts, but they are estranged, separated from God. That is key importance. I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived when he hath spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. And I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. Here in the United States of America, and this holds true for the free world, that in a great deal of the church, there is no recognition of there still being an office of a prophet. But ironically, in those elements or expressions of the church that do recognize the office of the prophet, they do so frowardly. They have a multiplicity of prophets, false prophets, who are employed beneath pastors and other leaders so that they are incapable of carrying out the office of a prophet. And they engage in all manner of personal prophecy and other heresies. It is a great irony, but here, when Ezekiel was a righteous, faithful, honorable, noble prophet, priest, there were many false prophets. And the Lord God Almighty said that if these sinful men came to a prophet who was deceived when he spoke a thing, came to one of these false prophets, God would destroy that prophet. Having the office of a prophet is not something to be lightly sought after or lusted after. On the contrary, the true prophets had the toughest of lives. But I will stretch out my hand upon him, upon those false prophets, and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel, and they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him. That the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, saith the Lord God. This harshness, this severity from God. For those who do not worship God, but pretend to. And those who lead the people of God astray. But then there is separation here. And there is a new message from God Almighty to Ezekiel. To Ezekiel through Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it and will break the staff of the bread thereof and will send famine upon it and will cut off man and beast from it. When the people of the land sin grievously against God, trespass grievously against God, he will send famine, starvation. And at such times, if there should be in the land these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. Now, this is an interesting selection. Noah, Daniel, and Job. Noah had three sons who were married, who with their wives went up into the ark with Noah and his wife, their mother. And of course, they populated the world following the flood. Job had 10 children. Three daughters, very beautiful. And when God Almighty allowed him to be tried, his children were taken, his children were slain suddenly, in a moment, in a storm, with the collapse of the house of one of the children. When God Almighty restored all to Job, doubly, he gave him 10 children. Whether they were the same children, we're not told. But he gave Job and his wife 10 children. And the three daughters were the most beautiful women in all the land. But Daniel, who with his three brethren was taken into captivity in Babylon, there is no word of Daniel being married. There is no word of Daniel having children, having offspring. No word whatsoever. But this passage in the book of the prophet Ezekiel indicates that that was the case, contrary to the teaching of various hireling ministers. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. Their own souls, what does that mean? Well, we'll get into that in just a moment. I'll wait until I am just a smidgen further here. And I will touch on something I have mentioned before, if not in these programs, then in the Christ's Resurrection of Life body programs. But if I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beasts, because of the dangerous wild animals, dangerous to man. Though these three men were in it, in this land, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered. But the land shall be desolate. When God Almighty spared Job, yes, he tried him for a very brief season, after having enjoyed hundreds of years of wonderfully full, resplendent life. And then following that trial of a brief season, he got to enjoy more hundreds of years of wonderful, full, resplendent life. And yet, we are told, instructed by so many hireling pastors about the terrible suffering of Job and the patience of Job. But anyway, Job's flocks were stolen. His servants were slain. Except for one servant with each flock who fled and brought word to Job about what had befallen the other servants and the flocks. And again, the 10 children of Job, they were taken in a moment, as it were. But Job's wife was not taken away. She was not slain. She was not afflicted in any way except with grief over the loss of her children. Job also was not afflicted until he was afflicted. You know, Satan said, skin for skin. And God permitted Satan to afflict Job with boils. But until that, he had not been afflicted. And that was the only affliction allowed to Job, to his person. Boils. So Job was impoverished, lost his children, his flocks, his servants, was reduced terribly. But his wife was not harmed. When God Almighty says that none of these three men shall deliver sons nor daughters. No mention of wives. Why is that? It's because God Almighty in his word, going back to the beginning of the beginning of Genesis, called Adam and Eve Adam, viewed them as one. As Jesus said, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they were twain. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." These men shall deliver their wives. The men and their wives shall be spared, but not their children. Again, a strange, seemingly strange selection of Daniel. Yes, he was extremely righteous and godly and God-fearing and risked his life, hazarded his life, jeopardized his life to honor, worship, and obey God, as did his brethren. But not a word, not a scintilla of a word about him having a wife and children, nor his brethren. So it is curious that he's included here. And this inclusion implies that Daniel did in fact have a wife and children. But moving on, the land shall be desolate. Or if I bring a sword upon that land and say, "Sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves," meaning the men and their wives. Or as it was written earlier on, concerning their souls, they should deliver but their own souls, their own being theirs and their wives. The sword going through the land, that normally, usually, referred to war. But it could refer to violence as well, violent crime. But they only shall be delivered themselves. These men, these most godly of men, who were described as being perfect in their generation. Or if I send a pestilence. A pestilence. A disease. An epidemic. A pandemic. A plague. The problem with using the word plague is that plague can refer to other things. All of these judgments are variously referred to as plagues. When you go to the book of the Revelation, you will find that so very many of the plagues are not disease, not epidemics, not pestilence. Though it can be. But if I send a pestilence into that land and pour out my fury upon it in blood to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Their own souls and their wives. Their lives and their wives. But This was in the days of old. This doesn't pertain to today. This has no relevance for we sinful people. Elsewhere in other passages, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in Revelation, pestilence sometimes goes by the name death. And it can be confusing because God is speaking of his punishments, his great judgments, his plagues, and he will refer to slaying people by death. And that is curious and confusing and mysterious, but it is referring to pestilence. For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword, warfare, and terrible violence, and the famine, starvation, and the noisome beast, wild, dangerous animals, dangerous to people. Exotic pets. And the pestilence, disease, epidemic, pandemic, plague. How much more when I send my four sore judgments to cut off from Jerusalem man and beast? Oh, but brother, that only pertains to Jerusalem and Jewry, and that is in the Old Testament way back, and that has no relevance for us. Really? How convenient. Yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth. Isn't that interesting? When God Almighty sends one of his sore judgments, the sword, or famine, or noisome beasts, or pestilence, it shall be so severe that if Noah, Daniel, and Job and their wives were in those lands and their children, that even their children would die despite the godliness, the righteousness, the comparative perfection of these men. When he sent any one of his sore judgments, let alone when he sends all four. But he says here that how much more when I send my four sore judgments to cut off man and beast, yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters, despite what he has said before. He is now speaking of mercy, mercifully delivering a remnant of children, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doings. And ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. And they shall comfort you when ye see their ways and their doings, and ye shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God. Because God sent his punishments because of the sin, the waywardness, the frowardness, the wickedness, the rebellion of the people, including of the young people. Oh, but brother, that has nothing to do with us today. That's back in Israel. And that's only Jewry. Really? Fascinating. In the United States of America of today, if we go back in time, back a couple hundred plus years, back to the colonies, there were still people that believed when things like this happened that it was a judgment from God. If we go further back, another 100 years, and further, and we come to the Puritans and then to the Pilgrims, we find people who absolutely believe this. Those poor, backwards, ignorant people. We're so advanced. We're so intellectual. Now, we're so sophisticated. We know better than that. Oh, yes, these terribly advanced times. But they recognized the truth, the reality, that God does send judgment for sin, sends it against countries, nations. We have no such recognition now. Oh, there may be in this church or that church, but for the nation as a whole and the world as a whole, there is complete wholesale blindness and ignorance and denial. There are many people, multitudes, who believe it is not only appropriate, but requisite for all people in all nations to jump through all of the hoops, whatever hoops are put there by the leaders, the political leaders, such as, notably, the Democrat governors in the United States of America. All manner of requirements to be divested of their democratic rights by the Democrat Party. It's a thing of beauty. All in the interest of preserving their lives. Even going so far as to report on neighbors and strangers that are not jumping through those hoops. Exactly the same as has been required in every communist regime, in every fascist regime, in every totalitarian regime that has ever existed. Every police state. But that is entirely appropriate and requisite. But what about when things get worse? As they will. Oh, brother, you're such a pessimist. Well, if you read the book of Revelation, you and I have a choice to make. First, whether to read the book of Revelation. We can just refuse it, shut it out, ignore it, as well as the Old Testament scriptures. in Daniel and Zechariah and so forth. Just shut it up. Just shun it. You know, ignore it. Ignorance is bliss, supposedly. Or we can read these things. But if we read them, of course, then we can choose to imagine that it's not true. It doesn't pertain to us. It's irrelevant. It either happened long ago, or it will happen far in the future, or it will never happen. And it's just allegorical, and it's just poetic license, and so many fairy tales. But if we believe that the Word of God is true, then we cannot escape realizing that worse times are coming, even if we fail to recognize how close, how near those times are. Very near indeed. If people are being required to do all manner of things diametrically contrary to their precious democratic rights, unless they belong to the privileged groups, you know, thugs, gangsters, and so forth, then what will they be required to do when things get exceedingly much worse? As they shall. And not required by free democratic governments, but fearsome regimes, ultimately one fearsome regime. Now, of course, we can choose to believe all manner of fiction that has been taught in so many churches for so long. When the going gets tough, we will be raptured away, even though so very many worshipers of God have gone through such horrendous, monstrous, evil tribulation for so long. Those that haven't been murdered during such tribulation. But we, as soon as things start to get tough, we will be raptured away. Or will we? No. There is no such thing as a pre-tribulation rapture. God can choose to spare what people he chooses to spare. But those that are spared will most likely be people that have already gone through tribulation. But there shall be rupture. There shall be tribulation, trial. Why? To test our faith. To try our faith, which just happens to be the all-important, ultimate reason for our existence. Jesus said he came to give life and life more abundant. Oh, well, then that means that we get to enjoy life to the fullest on this earth. Or does it? Was he referring to life hereafter? To give life and life more abundant by laying down his life so that whosoever should believe on him could confess him, embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord and God. Worship God in spirit and truth should ultimately inherit eternal life and life more abundant. Heavenly Father, lead us, guide us, direct us into all truth. Be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Open the eyes of our understanding. Grant that we may understand and know the truth and worship thee in spirit and truth and be pleasing to thee. Blessed be he who cometh in the name of the Lord. In spirit and truth and word and deed and power and might, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, and account us worthy to stand before thee at thy coming and to serve thee forever in Christ Jesus' holy name, soon coming King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen.